Can anybody tell me what rock bottom looks like? Because I think the New York Yankees have just hit it. The Bronx Bombers went into Detroit this weekend and got swept by one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. Of course, we're going to break down everything from good to mostly bad here on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. It has been a rough weekend for the New York Yankees. They have not enjoyed this Memorial Day weekend. The weather in the tri-state area, terrible. The Yankees play in Detroit, atrocious. There's not many words to describe it. Yankees go into Detroit and get swept by the fourth-place Detroit Tigers, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. This is coming just a week after the Yankees swept one of the best teams in baseball, the Chicago White Sox, who happen to be in the same division as the Tigers, in the Bronx last weekend, just 7 days ago. We were at an all-time high. The Yankees seemed to be figuring it out, even though, you know, there were still some struggles offensively and also struggles somewhat with starting pitching. You know, there's been a couple of ups and downs. It hasn't been 100%, you know, Yankees baseball, and it just seemed like they were getting back on track. But this really pushes them back, and this really makes you think, what is this team really capable of? Now, I get it. It's one series, you know. It is. At the end of the day, it's three games, and, you know, looking back at it, I'm sure it's one that the Yankees are definitely going to want to forget. However, we are now 50-plus games into the regular season. It is time for this team to figure it out fully. Figure out their identity. Get back on track. Some of the same things that we keep talking about on previous shows are going to be reoccurring as we discuss this series as a whole. So yes, very frustrating. It got to the point where I'm sure Yankees fans all over didn't even want to watch. It became that ugly of a series. And you know what? When it rains, it pours. It just was not the Yankees weekend. But of course, we're going to recap it all for you, kind of talk about some of the key moments in the series, and look ahead to a very big homestand for the Yankees in which they host the Tampa Bay Rays and the Boston Red Sox. Before we do that, a reminder, if you're new to our show, we thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to listen to our podcast. You can find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND and also my personal account at Nick Delahanty. You can also find us on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast and follow our brand on Instagram by looking up Delahanty Media. For our returning listeners, we love having you here and we thank you for taking some more time out of your schedule to talk Yankees baseball with us. You guys would know. You can find us on all podcasting platforms, starting with Apple Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show is there available for you. Whatever podcasting platform you're listening on, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, leave a rate and review. So, just as an example, if you're listening on Apple Podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us some 5 stars, and give a nice review in the comments. All your feedback is definitely appreciated. So, now that we got that out of the way, let's jump right into this series because, yes, there is a lot to talk about. After the Yankees' recent series against the Blue Jays, and you can go back and listen to our last show, I flat out said, you know, this is a great weekend for the Yankees to have a great weekend. You know, this was a weekend that you circle on your calendar, you're looking at, and you say to yourself, AJ Hinch and his crew are rebuilding. They are a team that is not built to win right now. This is an opponent you need to take advantage of. Good teams handle the bad teams on their schedule. And what better way to start off a 3-game set in Detroit than having your ace, Gerrit Cole, on the mound. And yes, Cole did Gerrit Cole type things. Was he as dominant as we've seen him be? No, but he still gave a strong performance. Went 6 strong, allowed just 1 run, struck out 5, only walked 1, did throw 103 pitches. His ERA for the season now at 1.78. Cole now has 7 starts with 1 run or fewer allowed. That leads the American League. No other pitcher in the American League has more than that. Gerrit Cole is the front runner right now, and he's pitching like an ace. Even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he's figuring it out. And the conditions were bad on Friday night in Detroit. It was very cold. You know, that is sometimes a big issue for pitchers as you look to trying to get your stuff going and things like that. So for Cole to muster through six strong, really good sign for the Yankees. Let's take you through the regular portion of the game. Okay, Yankees get Giancarlo Stanton back. We're going to talk about him in just a moment. Bottom half of the third inning. Tigers get on the board first. Candelario hits a single to the right, scoring Grossman. It would be 1-0 until the top of the fifth. Rougned Odor comes up and hits a home run to right field. 362 feet to be exact. Your ball game is tied up at one. After the Yankees bullpen does a tremendous job getting through the next three innings, you get Peralta for a clean inning. You get Chad Green for a clean inning. You get Chapman for a clean inning. Green and Chapman did walk a batter each, but nothing else damage-wise was done. And important to note, Chapman was coming back after the couple of days being away from the team, as the Yankees said that he was ill, nothing COVID-related. So just keep that in mind. We go to the 10th. Aaron Judge ends up scoring on a pass ball. It was a gift, an absolute gift that was given to the Yankees. They take a 2-1 lead heading into the bottom half of the 10th inning. Here's where things get interesting, okay? Chapman throws 14 pitches in the 9th. The Yankees elect not to bring him out for the 10th. I understand Boone's logic with it. I get it. You know, the guy hasn't been around. He hasn't pitched. The Yankees did not want to extend him like that. They also did not have Jonathan Loaisiga, who had a scheduled day off. So you were left with a mix of only a couple of guys in the bullpen. The Yankees elect to go to Justin Wilson, who has not been good this year. One of the worst relievers in the American League, if not the big leagues. Yankees have been using him in situations where they have a very big lead or a very big deficit. But in this situation, they were looking for him to close out the game. Wilson allows a base runner and does get two strikes on Robbie Grossman. Here's where it gets interesting. If you watch the replay, Wilson throws a pitch on the outside corner, appeared to be a strike. I thought it was a strike. Nonetheless, it was called a ball. The next pitch, what does Grossman do? Hits a home run. Tigers win the game 3-2, and a really heartbreaking loss for the Yankees because, number one, you don't want to lose on Gerrit Cole Day, especially given how well the pitching staff pitched. You know, one run through nine innings of work should be plenty for the Yankees offense to take advantage. And then again, the missed call at the end of the game really changes the dynamic of it. The Yankees went from winning the game to losing the game because of one pitch. Robo umpires, where you at? It's a common trend throughout the game. We hear more about umpires messing up calls and things like that. There's no room for it in the game. Let's figure something out. And you know what? I get they're human, but it's getting to the point where the human eye is really starting to hurt the game. Umpires need some rectifying. They need to figure out a way to get this fixed because, you know, it is becoming a more and more common issue in the game before it gets way too out of hand. The Yankees offense, utterly pathetic. Yes, they had 11 hits. You know, Odor had four of them. Odor was the bright spot. He had a great game. 4-for-5 at the plate. He was phenomenal. The rest of the Yankees lineup, yikes. DJ LeMahieu, 3 strikeouts in the leadoff hole. That's very un-DJ LeMahieu-like. Giancarlo Stanton, in his first game back, was 0-for-5. You could tell that he was rusty, and he's still rusty throughout the series. 4 strikeouts for him. Aaron Judge had 2 hits in 5 at-bats, but he also struck out twice. So the top 3 batters in the Yankees lineup combined for 9 of the team's 12 strikeouts on the game. You got to put the ball in play. You know, yes, 11 hits usually should be enough to score you some runs. However, the Yankees did not hit in clutch situations. In fact, they were 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Keep that in mind. This is a reoccurring trend. 0-for-10 in game one. It only gets worse from here. So make sure you're keeping the tabs on that one. And it's not like the Tigers did much better. They only had 7 hits. The Grossman homer in the 10th really shouldn't have happened if the strike is called, but you can't play the if game. Yankees go on to lose this one 3-2. And it's a really, and I mean really, tough setback, especially given, you know, you're looking for Cole and crew to carry you to a win in that first game. Now you're looking to take the next two and avoid losing another series in a row. Now, in game two, due to the Corey Kluber injury, the Yankees have to mix and match. They elect to bring up Davey Garcia to make the start in Kluber's absence. The Yankees essentially had two open voids in their rotation as they're trying to spread things out. We'll get to that in a minute. Obviously, game three, Michael King gets the ball. But Garcia was not very sharp. Was hanging a bunch of breaking balls. He just did not look like he had a feel for his pitches. He only lasted 4 1/3. Allowed 4 earned runs. 5 runs in general. 5 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. Only threw 88 pitches. And again, it just wasn't your ideal start from him. Albert Abreu ends up pitching the final 3 2/3 of the Yankees. He was called up prior to the game. He allowed 1 run, and that was all the Tigers would get. They would get the 6 runs overall on the Yankees pitching staff. On the other side of things, Spencer Turnbull, probably heard of him, threw a no-hitter a couple of starts ago. He looked really good. Went into the 6th inning, allowed just 3 hits, 1 run, allowed 3 walks, struck out 6 Yankees. Yankees actually got a lead in this one early on. Seems like every time the Yankees have the bases loaded, they ground into a double play. The situation was the same here, and Duhar grounds into a double play, scoring Torres, and that's all the Yankees would get. The rest of the scoring happened on the Tigers' end, and once again, the Yankees' offense, absolutely abysmal. 9 innings, only 3 hits. 3 hits, 12 strikeouts in general. Everybody in the batting order struck out at least once. Just utterly, utterly pathetic. 0-4 with runners in scoring position, I told you. Keep an eye on that number. It's going to be very ugly at the end. Yankees left 6 on base. Nonetheless, offense doesn't do enough. Pitching on Garcia's end wasn't good enough. Yankees lose game 2. They end up losing the series before they even get to the rubber game, which is not a good sign if you're Aaron Boone's team. And Aaron Boone keeps saying things like, you know, bottom line, we got to get better if we're going to be the team we expect to be, yada, yada, yada. It is what it is. However, Yankees definitely lose the series going into game 3, and you're just hoping they don't get swept because that's really, really embarrassing on that end, getting swept by one of the worst teams in baseball. Then you see the lineup they throw out for the series finale, and you're like, oh boy, here we go. Buckle up. Miguel Andujar playing first base. Tyler Wade playing center field. It's kind of like they were, you know, kind of punting because, yeah, you know, 37-year-old Brett Gardner can't play every day in center field, but, you know, let's trade Mike Tauchman while we're at it. Let's keep a roster spot for Brett Gardner, who's hitting under 200 and can't figure it out. And then when you look at that, you have Clint Frazier, who's hitting under 200, Gary Sanchez, who's hitting under 200, Miguel Andujar, who hasn't hit this season. I know it's a smaller sample size for him, so I don't want to throw batting average out there. And then you're looking at your top guys. Stanton can't catch a break. He can't figure it out. He's trying to get back. He's definitely rusty. LeMahieu hasn't been the DJ LeMahieu who won the batting title a year ago. And if you're Aaron Judge has been hitting the ball. But, you know, what is one out of 9 guys going to do for you? So we head into the series finale. Michael King takes the ball. And, again, you know, Michael King was thrown into a spot where he's making his first start of the year. Remember, he had a really good start to the year. He had that 6 shutout innings performance. You know, he was really good. He gets thrown into the mix, has a chance to impress. He doesn't even get out of the 3rd inning. Struggled. He allowed 4 runs, 2 of which were earned. Did not get much help from the Yankees defense. He had 2 errors from Torres in this one, another error from Urshela. While we're on the topic of errors, Glaber makes a really ugly error in the 3rd inning, and you could sense his frustration. Absolute frustration in the dugout. Went all Paul O'Neill on us. It was good to see some fire out of this team, at least from Glaber's end. You know, you could tell that he cares, and that just really put things into different perspective for people because they're saying to themselves, you know what, Glaber's a very lax and calm guy and doesn't really show much fire, but there, you could tell that he was frustrated. You would like to see more of that from this Yankees team. So, yeah, King did not have a great performance, threw 63 pitches, didn't even get out of the 3rd inning. Yankees, who brought up Nestor Cortez after the game, brought him in for 3 2/3, kind of stopped the bleeding a little bit, allowed 1 earned run, 2 runs total, and then Nick Nelson pitched the final 2 innings, did not allow a run. Let's take you through the scoring. Tigers get up early. A Mazzara double scores two. 2-0 Tigers after one. Bottom half of the third, you get the Gleyber error, makes it 3-0. And then a Castro double makes it 6-0. So right there, Yankees down 6-0. And right away, you're thinking, man, this team's getting swept. There's no chance they're coming back. But then they start to show a little life. Gleyber Torres hits a single to right field, scoring LeMahieu. What happens? Then they score another run on a Gary Sanchez infield single. Bad throw allows Sanchez to, we think, go to second base. However, Sanchez gets thrown out at second base on a very, very dumb base running mistake. If you watch this team on a daily basis like I do, and like a lot of you do, they don't field the ball well. They don't run the bases well. They haven't hit well. What does this team do well? I'm still trying to figure it out. It still amazes me. I don't understand it. Here I'm thinking Sanchez is standing on second base all happy-go-lucky. Meanwhile, he gets caught in a pickle and gets tagged out by the bag. It just did not make sense to me. I watched the replay a couple of times. It still doesn't make sense to me. Nonetheless, the Yankees go out of the inning down 6-2 when they had a chance to make it even more. Unfortunately, that was not the case. They couldn't capitalize on a very big situation. And then again, they get another key situation in the ninth inning. They load the bases for Aaron Judge with two outs. And you're thinking, oh man, right guy, right spot. Yankees have the tying run at the plate. They have an opportunity. They're going to do something with this. The inning started off well with an Andujar single, followed by a Frazier single. Then you got a Stanton walk, and Judge puts up one of the most uncompetitive at-bats he's ever put up. Strikes out looking. That's your ball game. Yankees lose 6-2. They get swept by the Detroit Tigers. Yes, swept by the Detroit Tigers. Again, Yankees offense did not do much. They had more errors than they had runs. Yes, they out-hit the Tigers, but if you're not hitting with runners in scoring position, what's that doing for you? In this game, they were 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. If you look at the series as a whole, that makes the Yankees 2-for-25 with runners in scoring position. That is rather ugly. 10 total guys left on base. Yankees like to leave people on base. Standout performers, LeMahieu with two hits. Still not himself, but still two hits. You got two hits from Gary Sanchez. His average goes over the 200 mark, which is good. And you got two hits from Clint Frazier, who's sitting at a measly 182. And you know how much I love Clint Frazier. Just has not been the guy that I've hoped he would be. And we talked about the pitching side of things. Yankees make Schoolbull look like a legend. He goes six strong. Really doesn't have to sweat much. The Yankees really didn't do much against him. Most of the Yankees' damage came against the bullpen. Once again, Yankees making a decent or mediocre starter look good. I don't know the recipe for that. But this marks the first time since 2000 that the Yankees got swept by the Detroit Tigers. That's pretty ugly. You want to know the last time it happened? It happened in May 2000. At that point, Cody Bellinger's father, Clay Bellinger, was the Yankees' starting shortstop. Derek Jeter was out with an injury. But let's remember, if we're trying to make any kind of positive correlation here, 2000 turned out to be a pretty good year for the Yankees. And the Yankees have now scored two runs or less in 20 of their games this season. Only the Pirates, the Tigers, and the Orioles have done it more. And now they're actually tied with the Orioles. Should this Yankees team be associated with three bottom-of-the-barrel teams? Absolutely not. Pretty pathetic if you ask me. And now the Yankees have scored three or fewer runs in 29 games this year. The only team to do it more is the Pittsburgh Pirates. And with this loss in Game 3, the Yankees have scored two or fewer runs in 8 of their last 11 games. This is the first time this has happened since July 11th to the 23rd of 1991. It is not pretty in Yankees land, especially with one of the most important home stretches of the season coming this week. Tampa comes in for a series. Then you host the Red Sox for the first time this year even if you would have took 2 out of 3, even if you find a way to win one of the games, that's some kind of momentum as you head into those series. But now you're going in, you're playing bad baseball, your manager keeps reiterating the same kind of message he's been reiterating for months now. They just haven't been able to figure it out. And now, I am not in the locker room. I couldn't tell you what goes on in there. But I want to ask a question, and, you know, I could be totally wrong, and I could be getting the vibe wrong. But is it just me, or does it seem like this team lacks a certain fire? Yes, we saw Glaber get upset in Game 3. But you see Judge strike out with the bases loaded, and it was just like, you know, maybe he's just good at hiding his emotions. There was no sense of real frustration or anything. It just seems like they're going through the motions. And if that's the case, they're in for a rude awakening because the schedule doesn't get easier. Competing in the American League East doesn't get easier. It's a rough stretch, and the Yankees got to figure it out before it's too late. And yes, at this point, it's probably hard to make any kind of significant trade to help bolster this team. Aaron Hicks now out for the season. You're missing Corey Kluber. He's going for a second and a third opinion. I think the Yankees are hiding how severe this is. Only time will tell. Yankees are banged up. Luke Voit. The list goes on and on. And when you're not getting key contributors like DJ LeMahieu hitting the way that he's known to hit, Gleyber Torres isn't hitting for power. Gio Rochelle is not hitting for power. You're losing all this power, and you're not replacing it. And then you add the struggles, I like to call them. The Gary Sanchez's of the world. The Clint Frazier's of the world. The Brett Gardner's of the world. It's just a bad recipe. And at what point do you say changes have to be made? I think it's coming. I really do. And I'm not giving up. I really am not. I don't want you to think I am. I still think that this team has a very good chance of competing for the division or a playoff spot because I know how talented they are. But right now, it's very hard to see that the way that the offense has been playing. When the offense is on, this team is very hard to beat, especially if the pitching does what the pitching has been doing as of late. Yeah, you got to replace Kluber for the time being, but I think it's doable. But when the offense is struggling and they don't put the ball in play, it's a recipe for a disaster. Because the minute you start striking out too much, you don't hit with runners in scoring position, sometimes the small ball does play a factor. And when the long ball's not going out, we all know the baseballs are dead inside, and I think Major League Baseball should go back to juicing them up so offense starts going, and not just for the Yankees, but for everyone. It's a tough situation to look at. So am I giving up? No. Am I concerned? Absolutely. I think if the Yankees had another series against a non-division opponent, I'd be like, you know what? They're going to figure this out, and everything will be A-okay. But knowing that Tampa's coming in for a quick afternoon game on Monday and that it's coming in quick and they don't have much time to get back on track, it does concern me, especially given that the Yankees have had their fair share of struggles with Tampa as of late. But again, it's going to take a lot. This team has to bounce back, but I do think they have the tools necessary to do it. The Yankees did get some good injury notes over the last couple of days. Clark Schmidt starts throwing as of late. They're hoping that he could start facing live batters in the near future. Zach Britton made his first rehab appearance, threw 18 pitches, looked really good, was able to see the footage. You could go on our Twitter page at Pinstripe Talk ND to check that out. There's a lot of good footage of his outing, and you know, I really was positive about it. I thought it was really good. In a smart decision, the Yankees aren't going to use him on back-to-back days. They're going to space it out, which I think is the right thing to do. So there is a chance that we could see Zach Britton back in the Bronx in the near future. And again, they might need Clark Schmidt to step up into the rotation. The way it's going right now, anything is truly possible. Now again, look ahead to the schedule before we wrap up today's show. You got Tampa coming in. Big series. What better time to get back on track than against arguably your biggest division opponent right now in Tampa? The Yankees have to at least split this series. They have to. They don't have a choice. 2 or 3 games in this series they have to take It's a guarantee. They have to figure it out. They got to get back on track, and it starts right now. Very big series for the Yankees. I can't stress that enough. Let's look ahead to this series, shall we? As the Yankees wrap up the month of May. Jameson Taillon gets the ball against Rich Hill. 1 o'clock start on Monday. Hopefully Rich Hill don't look like Cy Young in this one. Yankees did have their fair share of troubles with him in the last time they met. Tuesday's game, 7 o'clock start. Tyler Glasnow against Domingo Herman. That's a tough matchup for the Yankees. Glasnow really growing into a really nice pitcher in this league. Wednesday's game, another 7 o'clock start. Shane McClanahan against Jordan Montgomery. And then you look ahead to Thursday's series finale. That's a 1 o'clock first pitch. Ryan Yarbrough takes the hill against ace Gerrit Cole. That is right before the Yankees host the Boston Red Sox for a very big three-game set in the Bronx this weekend. But of course, as more Yankees news and updates come along, we will make sure that we continue to update you. And of course, give you more content as that happens. So, you better be expecting a show after the Tampa series wraps up on Thursday afternoon. That will be, hopefully, a more positive show for us to talk to you about everything Yankees baseball. And then again, you'll get a show on Monday as an off day. You'll get some more Yankees content on that day. So make sure you're following along for all the latest Pinstripe Talk podcast episodes and content, because they keep coming out. Don't miss them. Don't miss any of our exciting action. Easiest way to do that: subscribe to our show. Hit that subscribe button on Spotify, Apple Podcast, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. However you're listening to our show today, make sure you hit that little subscribe button. Also, rate and review the show as well. All your feedback is appreciated. And another way to check out our brand is to follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND and my personal account at Nick Delahanty on Twitter, on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast, and on Instagram by looking up Delahanty Media. Go to DelahantyMedia.com if you want to buy some merch, support the brand. All the support is appreciated. And for our sake, let's hope that this week brings a more positive outcome for our beloved New York Yankees. Once again, my name is Nick Delahanty, and I'm the host of Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. As always, let's go Yankees. Don't give up just yet. It was a rough weekend. We've hit rock bottom. But you know what they say? There's only going up once you hit that rock bottom. We'll talk to you again on Thursday. Thank you all for tuning in. As always, enjoy your Memorial Day. Remember to thank our veterans who served our country courageously and defended our freedom and our way of life. Enjoy the day. I'm sure a lot of you have off. And hopefully, we'll be able to enjoy some Yankees baseball over the next couple of days. Until next time, take care, everyone. And once again, for better sake, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.